From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
A young woman who believes in planting seeds of change. She has a passion for service and is one of the leaders of Howard University's Alternative Spring Break. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and our conversation today on the journey is with Ayanna McFarlane, senior English major here at Howard University. Welcome.
Thank you, President Frederick.
So, Ms. McFarlane, you are from Memphis, Tennessee. Tell me what it was like growing up in Memphis.
Growing up in Memphis was interesting. A lot of people, when they think about Tennessee, they think about cows and farms, but Memphis is a city. And it's a city with a lot of great background, a lot of great history, but it also has some tough issues. And I grew up seeing some of those tough issues, a lot of poverty in my area. And when I came to Howard, I decided as soon as I got to Howard that I was going to go back to serve my community. So a lot of people go where the cup is already full. They go to Nashville, they go to Atlanta, they go to D.C., and they stay, and they build their new family, their new base here. And I decided to go back and fill the cup in Memphis, along with my other students who decide to go back after they graduate.
Oh, that's great. Obviously, your passion for giving back saw you looking for opportunities to take Alternative Spring Break to your hometown in Memphis. Tell me what that journey has been like, and what exactly will Howard University Alternative Spring Break be doing in Memphis this coming spring break?
Well, a few years ago, I was a bright-eyed freshman, and I thought that it would be a great idea to use the Alternative Spring Break program as an opportunity for students to not only find out about Memphis, but for them to be able to serve my hometown. My hometown, for several years, had the highest rate of infant mortality in the nation, higher than some third world countries. And they had a very high STD rate. They were number three for diabetes. There were so many different health issues. And at the same time, Memphis, just maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, was on the list for being one of the worst school systems in the nation. Now, that doesn't take away from the wonderful opportunities there and the wonderful people there. So I wanted to give people both sides of what Memphis was like. And I was determined to do that. So the Alternative Spring Break program, the Office of the Dean of the Chapel, allowed me to spread my wings and be able to build that program from the ground up. And there are a lot of sleepless nights, and I grew so much in that first year of serving. We worked with Well Child last year, and Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is a staple site that we go to each year. And what we do is we're trained as sexperts. So we learn all of the things that would plague young adults between the ages of about 11 years old to 24. And we talk to them about some of those issues. So not only just STDs and the physical ailments, but also the emotional situation. So we talk about relationships, we talk about body image, and we take what we learned and not only internalize it, but we disseminate that information throughout the week to different groups.
Well, excellent. Sounds like it would be a very rigorous program. You're now serving as acting director of Alternative Spring Break, and in that role, you oversaw the expansion of the program to two new sites.
Yes.
What are the two new sites this year?
The two new sites are St. Louis and Newark, New Jersey.
All right. And what exactly will you be doing in St. Louis and Newark? And why St. Louis and Newark?
Okay, so St. Louis, earlier this year, after the Mike Brown situation occurred, I had the opportunity to travel to Ferguson, and I made some contacts there. And even before we went, there was a young man who was on the steering committee who told us about some of the issues that plagued St. Louis. And we decided to go ahead and take that step and to serve St. Louis. Now, just like all of our other cities, St. Louis has a high crime rate. St. Louis has a lot of issues as far as their education system is concerned. And we wanted to see how we could serve their community best. And we decided with the recent tragedy of Mike Brown that the best way to serve is to empower people with knowledge. So we decided to go with civic education. So we worked in conjunction with some of the sociology department, so some of the graduate students in the sociology department, to build out a curriculum to be able to teach students how to advocate for themselves in their own communities and advocate for their communities. So when we leave, we've given them the gift of the knowledge of being able to defend themselves with through this education.
Excellent. The program also has a big development around year-round opportunities for students to serve. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So that's something that's recent this year. We know that when we come back from alternative spring break, we're so filled up and we're so on fire for serving. And we wanted to provide more opportunities for service. So we have the day of service, which is usually a program the first week of school. And what we do is we have a full day where we, in D.C., serve. Last year, we actually had over 700 people sign up for the program. We also had a day of service in the spring, and we plan on doing more with that. The Office of the Dean of the Chapel also offers homelessness initiative opportunities, and we've done several projects through that.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Ayanna McFarlane, one of the student leaders of the Alternative Spring Break. Now, you have a passion for education.
Absolutely.
That passion has taken you to doing internships at the Memphis Teacher Residency as a kindergarten teacher, Advocacy Department of UNCF, and the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for African Americans. Tell me about your passion for education.
So I believe that the key to empowering people, the key to self-actualization, is through education. And I really believe that that's the only way. That's the starting point. That's the ending point. And until all communities become lifetime learners, it's going to be very difficult for people to propel themselves and advocate for themselves. So when I walk into my classrooms, and I'm student teaching right now, but every day I go in with the mission of knowing that this is a ministry of empowerment. And I look at the education system now, and I feel like the only way that we can change things as a community is to change it for ourselves. So we have to look at the issues and educate ourselves, just like at Howard University. Most people who I know serve on this campus with us with smaller children to help them to learn how to read, to empower them with that knowledge. As a child, I learned how to read very early, and it opened my eyes to this world, to different worlds, to different opportunities that I would otherwise never know about.
Now, you're also interested in social justice.
Absolutely.
Right, you're the associate director of the Political and External Affairs in the Howard University Student Association, supporting them on political issues. Tell me a little bit about what you do in that role.
So I have had the pleasure of serving in this administration under Layden Watson. He has been a fantastic leader. And I, in my role in political and external affairs, anything that happens nationally or locally comes out of my department. So recently, last semester, we had the HBCU conference in which we brought together different leadership and other students from across the nation who attended HBCUs. So when opportunities come down as far as political internships, we also try to get those out to the Howard community. And we also have been working, a big thing that we've been trying to do even since this summer, is to connect the Howard students to the community around them. So we're here for 4 years, and our mission through political and external affairs is to help the students on Howard's campus realize their role as citizens here, not only in this nation, but also in D.C.
Now, with that in mind, as you look at the community around you, you currently teach at Cardozo.
Yes.
You give me your viewpoint of the D.C. youth and where you see the D.C. youth today.
I think that they are some of the most talented and energetic students that I could ever wish for or hope for. I went in, and very honestly, the first couple of weeks, I didn't have an understanding of the culture. The culture is very different from a Southern culture. So I had to understand what their culture was about. And that's something that I think I could have a second degree very soon in D.C. culture from learning from my kids. And it's something that's beautiful and something that I definitely have come to embrace, especially with their music. And what I realize is that every person is a genius in their own way. And our job as teachers is unlocking that genius. So these D.C. students are very much so in line with the legacy of the community. In Cardozo, for example, greats like Marvin Gaye, you know, came out and graduated from that place. So they're following in those footsteps and making their own trails as well.
You know, I moved here as a 16-year-old, and I tell people I consider myself from D.C. I learned to drive in D.C., et cetera. Every time I meet someone who's originally from D.C., I get so excited because you're right. The people from D.C. are some of the greatest people that you will meet. They're warm. They're very unique. They have their own way of doing things, but they're very passionate about their city, and I absolutely love that as well. You're a senior student. You've embarked on a journey here at Howard University that took you from Memphis, hopefully to some form of self-actualization.
Absolutely.
Tell me what that self-actualization has been like on your Howard journey.
Oh, my goodness. It has been a roller coaster ride. I came, and I talked about this at chapel, but I came in not really knowing much about myself. I was the person who was the straight-A student, and that's all I had to my personality. So I really had to come and find out what I was most passionate about. And I realized that service was like air for me. You know, I had to do service to feel fulfilled, and I could do it every day, no matter how challenging it was. So I made a decision to make sure that my study matched what I wanted to do in life. So I changed my major in my freshman year, and I decided to teach. And it's been the best decision that I made. I also had the opportunity, because of how Howard is a global, it subscribes to the global community, I got the opportunity to study abroad in London. And I went to over 8 countries, and I did cliff diving and all types of other exciting things because of the opportunity that Howard gave. And I just remember coming here, I had so many misconceptions about what a HBCU was because of what people told me. And then I came here and I saw so many people who looked like me who were striving for the same thing. So it changed even my perception of my own community.
Excellent. Now, as you leave and become an alum, I'm sure that journey had a couple of potholes in it, a couple of things that you would like to see differently. What do you want to see for your as it becomes your alma mater, this Howard University?
I want to see Howard University students really embrace themselves and not get caught up in the Howard bubble. A lot of people oftentimes come here and they reinvent themselves, and it takes for them to rediscover themselves on that senior year journey. And I think that it would be a lot easier their roads will be a little more smooth if they really embraced who they are.
Well, you certainly have embraced who you are, and as I've had the opportunity to interact with you across campus, you embody what I hope my presidency is about.
Thank you.
The ability to provide the opportunity for students like you who come from all over the world to this great university. So thanks for being here. My guest today has been Ayanna McFarlane, Acting Director of Howard University's Alternative Spring Break, and I think the embodiment of our motto in truth and service.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.